appreciate the Lord for this, another opportunity to be back at your way of listening. I'm thankful for all his mercy that renews every morning and his compassions that never fail. I'm thankful to know that scripture, it comforts me that if we can cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. And I love him because he first loved me. And it took a love to leave the splendor of heaven, already knowing your destiny. Sometimes as humans, we know what our, you know, what a job or something that might happen the next day, and we try to, you know, beat around the bush and try to go at it a different way and try to figure out shortcuts and different things like that. But see, the Lord didn't have any shortcuts. He dotted every I and crossed every T of the scripture that was written of him. And he didn't try to take any shortcuts. He didn't try to go to the left or to the right. He went straight on, knowing his destiny, knew that he was going to suffer the way that he did, knew that he was going to, you know, get nailed to that cross, and gave his life on the cross there. They didn't kill him. He gave his life. He could have called thousands of angels, but see, he saw me and he saw you, you know, in the future as babes in Christ. And he knew what our future was going to hold. He knew, as you know, as he was on that cross, he could see the souls that would perish and that would go straight to hell if he didn't die on that cross that day. If he didn't shed his precious blood, we would all be consumed. We would all be lifted up our eyes in hell and the fire and the flame that never goes out. And I'm sure thankful that I don't have to go there, and you don't have to go there either. But see, you have to be saved, you know, that's, or else you will go there. You have to get saved and born again. Nicodemus asked Jesus, he said, "What do you mean, be born again?" He said, "You must have a water birth," which we already have. That's why you can hear me today. But he said, "You also have to have a spiritual birth." There's a water birth, a fleshly birth, you know, and then a spiritual birth. And Jesus said, you have to have that in order to get to the kingdom of heaven. And I'm thankful that scripture is comforting in me, that the Bible says that my sheep have eternal life and no man shall ever pluck us out of Jesus' hand. And I'm just thankful that he has all power in heaven and earth. I'm thankful he shed his blood at Calvary. Like I said, it would all be consumed. If God didn't die at the cross of Calvary, if he didn't send his only begotten son, then we would have all died and went straight to hell. That's an evident and cold fact today. It's a simple truth, and you have to believe it with all your heart. Believe the name of Jesus. I knew who Jesus was. I knew what he did. I knew he died at the cross of Calvary before I was saved. I was 13 years old when I heard the word of God. When I heard the word of God being preached, I knew who he was. I knew what he did for me. I believed it because I could feel the love coming out of the preacher. He was telling me about what he did for me and how he left heaven, how he knew his destiny, and how love compelled him to go, and I needed that love. I was depressed. I was upset. I was down and out. I was so troubled on the inside. I didn't really know who to talk to or who to turn to, but I'm thankful the preacher told me about a man named Jesus and how he could deliver me from all my troubles and all my sins and all the things that I've committed. But I went the wrong way. I listened to the devil instead, and I went to the devil, his lies. He said, wait for a family, wait for a car and house and a big bank account. Wait till you build your household up, get your family going, and then maybe 50, 60 years old, you can come on back and get saved. But I'm thankful that God had other plans for me. But after those 7 long, dreadful years, at the age of 13, I listened to the devil. I went that broad way, the wide way that led to destruction, and that's exactly what he did to me. He just absolutely destructed my mind. It was a terrible thing. My mind was just distraught. It was troubled. At the end of that 7 years, at 20 years old, I couldn't even, you know, really understand why God still had mercy upon me. When I finally came to myself once again, the word of God came again the second time, I went to church, and my heart was already heavy. He was already dealing with me, already speaking to me that day. And I got to church, and I was sitting in the back of the church at that time. I couldn't even lift up my head. I couldn't even really pay attention, so to speak, because God was just speaking to me the whole time. He was dealing with me so strong, and my head was just bowed down, and the preacher was preaching to me, you know, the word of God, and telling me about a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and how I needed to be better to my family, and how I needed to put away the sinful habits that I had, and how I needed to repent of my sins, or else I would perish and go to hell. And that was dealing with me. God had already spoken to me like that, and it put fear inside my heart. That's something this world is lacking, is fear of God. That's something this world needs a whole lot more of, is the fear of God. They really don't believe in God with all their hearts. They claim to be, but that's just a mouth confession. But see, they missed the most important part of that scripture. It said, with a mouth confession, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You read that very closely. It said a heart, you know, that man believeth unto righteousness, but a mouth confession is unto the salvation. It says that's a token of it. That's something you do after you get saved, just like water baptism. That's something you do after you get saved. Turning over a new leaf, having a prayer after a preacher, joining up with a church, getting your name put on the church roll. That all that doesn't get you saved. You see, it's only by the blood of Jesus. That's why he left heaven. That's why he died on the cross of Calvary, that every man, boy, woman, or girl might come to know him as their personal savior. I can't save you. I can't bring you down to the altar and have a prayer for you and say, oh, you're saved, and everybody comes around and shakes your hand and baptizes you in the water. See, this is a personal experience and grace. This is something you have to do on your own time. This is something you have to get on your own physical knees or the knees of your heart if you're too old and not able. God sees that. God knows your heart. Just do all the stand, and God will bless you. God will save you if you give your whole heart to him. Just repent of your sins or you will perish and go to hell. That is such a terrible thing to know, but it's an absolute truth. It's the most important information that you could ever understand in life, is if you died in the condition that you're in, you will go to hell. And there is no exit gates. There is no fire escapes. There's no fire extinguishers. There's no water. It's just straight up flame. And you need to have fear about that. You need to really understand what's being said. And I know you're convicted. I know God's dealing with your heart. God wants to save you. You don't have to go to hell. That's why God died. He died that so we wouldn't have to go to hell. Please pay attention and really understand what I'm saying. God, he wants to save you. He wants you to go to heaven like I'm going to heaven. I have that comfort inside my soul. Before, I knew I would go to hell. I had that fear of God in me. It kept me from a lot of things. I didn't try to go out and do the drugs. I didn't do the hard drugs. I didn't go to prison. I didn't murder nobody. I didn't do anything so very serious. But see, I was still a sinner as the next person. See, I had a bad habit of doing things 100%, whatever I did, whether it was sin or whether it was good, I put my whole 110% effort into it, and it got me in a lot of trouble. But I'm thankful God had mercy upon me still through all the ignorance and the stupidity that I committed, and how I knew the word of God, how I knew that I would go to hell, and how I knew I needed to be saved just like that. And I still ran the other way after all the understanding and all the preaching that I heard every Sunday and Wednesday. I still ran the wrong way. And that just takes somebody super ignorant. As the old saying said, the old preacher's son, you know, that they end up the worst. And my preacher is my granddad and the grandson. It seems like I'm the worst one when I look at others and how I committed the things that I did and how I had understanding. I mean, I literally took 7 whole years. You think about that. 7 long years I heard the word of God, and I just didn't repent of my sins. I didn't call out on Jesus. But when God continued to deal with me, when God continued to break my heart, that old stony heart, he put the heart of flesh in, and he kept speaking to me. He kept speaking to me over and over, but I kept putting them off, and oh, wait till another day, a more convenient season. You got to go try this first. You got to go have sex here first. You got to try this beer first. You got to try this drug, smoke this weed. You got to do this over here first. But see, God had plans for me. He had plans to give me a wife. He's got plans to give me the transportation, to give me the house, to give me the kids that I need. He puts everything in place, and I'm trusting in him and having faith in him that he's going to bring it all to pass, because I trust in him. He knows all things. He has all the answers, and I'm not worried about what the devil thinks. He tries to work on our minds every day. As Christians, he tries to come at us outwardly. He tries to work on us inwardly. That spiritual high places, fighting spiritual wickedness in high places, that's in our mind. That's the thoughts that we have every day. And I hate the devil with the perfect hatred. I hate all that he does. He's a liar and the father of it. The Bible talks about how he's a liar and he's the father of all lies and he's the father of all evil. But I'm sure thankful that God's in charge. He has the final say-so in every situation. I'm thankful we can read about trials of the Bible. It helps us and gives us comfort to know that God's in charge. We can read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the 3 Jewish brethren that went down in that fiery furnace because they wouldn't serve Nebuchadnezzar's golden image that he set up. He said, "Whosoever shall hear the sound of music of any kind, you shall bow down and worship the image that I have built." And, you know, they heard the Chaldeans came and told on the Jewish brethren there. He said, hey, we got three Jewish brethren over here. They're not worshiping the image that you've set up, you see. And Nebuchadnezzar was a little heated, but he wanted to give them a chance. So he brought them in there and said, I'm going to give you the chance here. If you hear music and you bow down, then good job. Go on your way. But if you don't bow down, know for sure, just because I promoted you, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not going to put you in that fiery furnace just because I brought you out of jewelry, that, you know, I'm not going to do it to you. So see, they said, we're going to be very careful. We're not going to be careful how we answer you in this matter, Nebuchadnezzar. They said, you see, we're going to speak exactly what God gives us to speak. And that's what I'm trying to do today. But see, they said, we're going to give exactly what God gives. And they said, we're not going to bow down to that image that you've set up. We know God has power to deliver us. We know that he's in charge. We know his power. We know what he can do. And we're not going to bow down to that. But see, if it's not God's will for us to live, we're still not going to change our answer. We're going to stand by faith. We'll die and go straight to heaven. We've been saved. We know the Lord personally. And Nebuchadnezzar, it did something to his heart. It convicted him. And when we get convicted, we seem to do violent things. We seem to get a little bit on edge. We seem to get a little bit distraught and try to get angry. And we get in our flesh, so to speak. We get a little bit more emotional about the angry. You know, that preacher shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have talked about hell in his sermon. He shouldn't have talked about our sins in his sermon. What's wrong with drinking? What's wrong with smoking? What's wrong with doing a little bit of drugs? What's wrong with having sex without marriage? That's sinful. That's against God's word. That's against the Bible. And that's the only reason why you're not saved today, unless your deeds should be reproved. When you went to prison, when you go to prison, when you start to get sick, you start to get more honest about yourself. You start to get more humble. You start to see yourself in a better light because things are happening to you physically. Just like Jonah in the book, it said, he ran to Tarshish. He went on the boat and paid the fare thereof. When God told him to go into Nineveh and preach the word, he said, you're just going to forgive them anyway. I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm not going there. No way I can do that. And he went on and he went to sleep, and he was fast asleep in the bottom of that boat. And that shipmaster came down, and, you know, God sent a great storm his way, and that ship was going left to right, about to tip over. And here's Jonah is at the bottom of the boat, fast asleep, just like most Christians today. We're fast asleep, not putting out the effort, not really praying, not really studying God's word like we ought to, not really putting out the effort for God. It's just a reasonable service to give our whole body as a living sacrifice. I just can't see why Christians today, real Christians, born again believers, can't put out an effort for God. All that he's done for us, how he saved us, how he gave us peace, and how he gave us joy in our hearts. How can we not put out an effort for Jesus, the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? I don't see how we cannot put out an effort for God. But see, these three Jewish brethren fell down into that pit, and they were burning, but they didn't feel a single flame. And how wonderful that is. And Nebuchadnezzar threw them down there. He called his most mighty soldiers. He said, put the ropes on them and keep their clothes. They had their hats on. They had their shoes. They had their clothes on. And they put the ropes on them. And those mighty men throw them to that pit. They came to the edge of it and pushed them off. And those mighty men burn up to a crisp. They burn up right to a dust. And they threw him in there, and those three Jewish brethren fell down together. And Nebuchadnezzar let no doubt a few seconds fell by, and he looked into that pit, and they were still there, not even burning. He said, what's going on here? Do y'all see what I'm seeing? And he looked again, and he saw a fourth man, and he said it was like the image of the Son of God. And he delivered them that day because they believed in the name of Jesus. They believed in the name of Jesus, and God delivered them that day. And it was a fiery trial for them, and it was so wonderful to read about that. It does my heart good to read about those three Jewish brethren and how they had faith in God and how he's going to deliver us from all trials and tribulations. He brings us through the fire. The song says, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. If you're trying to get saved today, but God's dealing with your heart, he's tugging at your heart door, just give your whole heart to him. He wants to save you and give you this true peace and joy that I have today. If I could open up my heart and really let you see what's inside me and really let you see the sunshine, the brightness, and the light that God has put inside my heart, I really wish that I could. I really wish that I could really open up my heart and let you see how precious and how wonderful my Savior is to me. I just love him with all my heart. I want to love him more. I want to love souls more. I want to win every soul that I can possibly win before it's everlasting too late. I suggest you do your praying. Pray out to God with all your heart. Don't give up. Be determined today. That's what I was over 5 years ago. I was determined to be saved. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus and all my family that's already there. But do your praying. I see my time's about gone. May God bless you all. In Jesus' precious name, and amen.